Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
Well, hello there, Radio Land. This is not Bella D'Angelo, as you can probably tell. She is out tonight with the flu bug up there in cold land in Minnesota. We wish her a fast recovery so we don't have to fill in for her lovely shoes. She certainly puts a spark in the radio. I've known Bella for years. We met in an oil patch out there in North Dakota when it was 40 below zero. She is a kick in the pants. She's a great patriot. She's been working radio shows off and on for the last 6 years. I've been involved with quite a bit of them. I'm Eric Olson out of Billings, Montana. I am state chairman of Eagle Forum. I'm also co-founder of Montana Shrug Tea Party Patriots here, 6,300 members strong. We're fighting a fight for this country, for the Constitution, for limited government, higher wages, lower taxes. We get no arguments for all those issues. There's a lot going on in this country. We're all concerned about it. I have Aaron on the show with me tonight. We'll get him involved here in a minute. He can jump in any time if I miss a bump. But, you know, I do some radio shows off and on in other places, and I do voice talk radio here in Billings once in a while. I am in the oil business. Right now, we've been seeing information that our rig count's down to the lowest level in this country since Abraham Lincoln. That's right after Drake found the first oil well in Pennsylvania. This business is suffering bad. We suffer a lot because of government influences, both locally, nationally, and internationally. We just fight the fight to try to keep America solvent with oil, but it's just, we go through these major cycles. This, in my career since 1974, is the absolutely worst downturn I've seen in the drilling business. We hope to recover, but it's going to take a long time. We're going to see probably oil exports increase. We're going to see the Americans paying dearly for foreign oil. We don't think that's the way it should be. We got to get this government wrestled in under our control, and we see the elections going on now. We see a lot of upset people. It's not only just businesses that are suffering, it's the individuals. The wages are down in this country, the jobs are gone. We just need to get everybody fighting the fight it the right direction, and we'll start fixing what's going on here.
Fantastic start.
Is that Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron. That's a fantastic start, and you're 100% right. We need to get this government going in the right direction. I mean, the Republican stance right now, tell me what you think about it. The big boys, the boys that are actually holding the power in the party.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of working with the Republicans since I started the Tea Party in 2009 when we saw the president was going to fundamentally change the country. And you know, we worked hard with all the Republicans around Montana. We know nearly every one of them. We know a lot of the Democrats from all the work we've done. And what we've seen is the Democrats have a plan, and it's not all the Democrat people. It's the Democrat administration, and they're pushing us towards socialism. They've been doing that for 100 years or more. So they do have a plan. What we see with the Republicans is they don't have a real vision for the country. And they just don't know where to organize and how to organize and make a move in the right direction. So what they've kind of done is just lean to the left and lean to the left, and now they've started looking more like socialists themselves, and they're fighting that battle. You know, that we call them the rhinos, which some of them don't like, but the establishment, which McConnell said he didn't understand what the definition of an establishment was today, but they are following the dollar. They've got the lobbyists in their pockets. They do what the lobbyists ask. They got their crony capitalist friends. They're not doing the job for the American people, and you can see that in the welfare system we got, the low wages, the jobs disappearing out of this country. I think Trump said 55,000 factories disappeared since the 70s. It's just been this big global push to build up the rest of the world and watch ours crumble. So, you know, we just need a vision. We need the GOP or the Republicans to stand up and fight for the people now and make this country great, as Donald Trump says.
Have you noticed that the party itself has changed? I mean, we talk about the Tea Party, and then we talk about the people that are so angry right now. And the direction that the people want to go is not necessarily the direction the party wants to go. We see this big split going on right now. If Trump has made that change, Trump has gotten Democrats to come over to the Republican side, and he's got all the people that would normally never vote to come to his side. If there is the major split that may happen if they try and overturn the people's choice, do you see that going anywhere at this point? I mean, I can see that it causing a fail of the party completely, and it fracturing down the middle where they can't get anybody elected.
You know, they did that when Mitt Romney ran. They changed a bunch of the rules and kicked the Libertarians, Ron Paul, Tea Partiers out of their conventions so they wouldn't have these dissenting conventions and a dissenting vote at the major convention. So they already started that work to dismantle the conservative vote. And hence lost the elections. It lost our state elections bad because they did that. Because what happened is the other conservatives that they excommunicated from the party left the party and voted Libertarian. We lost all our state houses because then a lot of other states suffered. And Mitt didn't make the election because he chased all those votes out of the thing. So what Trump is doing is kind of what we started doing in 2009, collecting good conservative people, and not only just Republicans. You know, we've brought the Libertarians and a lot of Democrats into the Tea Party fold because we just profess to be concerned citizens. We're concerned about the plight of America and the plight of the jobs, what we've seen happen in the last 50 years. It's, you know, we won the big war, the World War II, and we were the darlings of the world, and then here 60 years later we're like stepped on by everybody. It's just it's a tragedy, and we need to either just completely take over the Republican Party, which we have been doing, or take out the remaining rhinos and establishment that are trying to hold it.
Yeah, well, they're trying to hijack it. They're trying to hijack the election, and that's the way it looks to most people on the outside. And if they do that, it's going to cause that fracture we just talked about. Trump is going to take the people in a different direction if forced into that box that you're trying to put him in. I don't see a way out of it at this point. Rubio, gone. Trash. Out of the way. Okay, now we're down to two. Okay, there's only two possible really ones that can carry anymore. And Trump has got the votes. He's going to have the votes. He's going to take the majority for the rest of the country. The only thing they could possibly do at that point is hijack at the convention. That's the only alternative. If the old guard wants to keep the control of the party, the only thing they can do is hijack at the convention itself. And if they do that, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a fractured party.
In Cleveland on the Republican delegate side is what I think it happened. I'm trying to be a delegate to go to that convention. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll happen. I think if Trump gets the 1237 votes, which I think he's very likely to get, everything will settle down. They'll get this thing done. But if he goes into a contested convention, then it's
kind of
everybody. Yes, we'd hope that Cruz would see some sense maybe at the end of the day if he's not the lead and walk over and shake Trump's hand and say, "How can I help you?"
I don't see that happening.
Let's get through this convention, because they're both anti-establishment as far as most people are concerned.
Right. I would agree with
you. We don't want Kasich, if he shows up there, to have any power to get in there, because he leans way to the left. You know, he's an establishment.
Well, he won't have enough votes. He won't even have enough votes. He won't have enough votes to be a player. I don't see that happening. Kasich doesn't have enough. Just because he took one state, that's not going to happen.
Right. And I think there's a rule, my son watches this as close as I do, and he said there's a rule that you have to have some minimum number of states won before you can be even thought to be considered. A candidate, and he's not going to go out there more than one or two states, if that many.
Yeah, if that many. I don't see him taking even another state. I don't see it happening. Not a significant number enough to get a whole state. I don't see him pulling that. The only reason he took one state is because it's his home state. It's the only chance he had.
Yeah, and he only got 45% of the vote.
Exactly.
In his home state,
exactly.
So you wonder.
Well, you wonder if he can pick anything else.
He's lost a lot of jobs. He came to Montana during a legislative session last time and bragged about all his great deeds in his state, and he said Medicaid is great and Common Core is great and all this government stuff, and I immediately looked him up on the internet. Balanced budget was another big thing he was pushing, and I went to his internet, and it said 50% of Ohio's money comes from the federal government, so he's balancing his budget on the backs of the rest of the country's
federal money, yeah.
But, most states do, so I guess you can't fault them. But he's got one of the biggest percentages of contributions from federal government, and I think that's probably because he was in Washington for 18 years. Kind of sets up your path, doesn't it?
Right. I don't see him being a player, though, for much longer. I see him falling by the wayside. Cruz is the only one who even was a challenger, is a challenger at this point. And if they go into a brokered convention, that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. I hope it does not happen. I hope Trump, and it's a good possibility that he's going to have enough votes going in the door that they really can't contest him and they can't go that direction.
Last week Phyllis Schlafly got up on the stage at her darling age and endorsed Trump when he was in St. Louis. But if you go to her website, which is www.eagleforum.org, she's the founder of Eagle Forum. There's a book called Choice, Not an Echo that she wrote and updated recently that talks about the kingmakers and how they control the presidential election. It starts way back in the 60s.
And you're talking about Soros and all those people.
So you get these people, they get together in Washington and have meetings, talk about who they want as president, how they're going to make it. Well, Goldwater was a big grassroots guy in the 60s, and he won the election ultimately in convention, and the Republicans didn't want him to be president because he was too uncontrollable back then.
That sounds familiar.
So once he got the nod to be president on the Republican side, the Republicans ran out and invented the pollsters. And the whole game was to make him look bad so the Democrat, which was Johnson, would win the election. So they took their own guy down in the 60s, and we end up with Johnson in the Great Society, which is we're paying painfully for these days.
Absolutely true.
It's crazy. It's been crazy to watch through this administration we got. Of course, you got the Supreme thing going on now.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about what's going to go on between Hillary and Trump? She's threatening to come after him, and I think he can hold his own. I don't think he's going to have any problem with her at all.
Absolutely. I think she's – well, I just saw the statistics today. The Democrats are pulling in 37% less voter participation this time than last time, while the Republicans under Trump's movement are up 67% on number of voters going to the polls for this primary season. So I think you're going to see that same thing go into the general election, and
that bodes
well if Trump stays in there for
Trump's going to pull the people that don't.
Victory.
Trump's going to pull the people that normally don't vote in on this. This is what's going to happen,
right.
And that's what the Republican Party is not really realizing at this point. The party leaders aren't realizing that they're getting this turnout because Trump is the man right now. If they even mess with that, they're going to lose that huge amount that he brought all by himself.
I think they're in denial. I think that's what you call it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would call it denial, absolute denial of the situation. They think they can still steer the party, and they have totally lost control of the party. Trump is the one running the party at this point, and if they mess with him, they mess at their own peril with the party crashing. That's really where it's headed.
Yeah, here, let's take a little break here. I'm going to read a couple of advertisements that Bella has some advertisers she wants us to announce, and then we'll get back into discussion more on this recent election last night and some other topics we'll get into. Okay. So, if you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who you can also rant with about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilia with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small-town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can call him at 952-856-6074. And that's for all your insurance needs. Call Aaron. Moving on to the next one. You don't find any better guys in a family-like team than with Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are GAF and Timberline certified. Polar Builders upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. If you guys are wondering what happened to that lovely lady, Bella, if you're just tuning in, she is under the weather. She's got the flu bug, and she's getting over it and hopes to be jumping in on this radio show again next Wednesday night. So tune in for that. She's always fun to listen to. She's always got a lot of laughter and cheer to bring to the show. Some of us older conservatives here, we get a little dull maybe at times, but we're trying. We can't do what Bella does, that's for sure.
She injects the humor. There's no doubt about that. She's the one that keeps us laughing.
Yeah, she does. She definitely keeps us laughing. So last night, we had a Super Tuesday.
Yes,
we did. And Hillary came out on top on that side. She's got quite a few votes. She's going to probably move right into that election with the only one that's going to be the candidate for the Democrats. Bernie has a great story for the young people, promising them everything as a handout, and they're believing everything that he's saying. It's kind of sounds like what Obama promised us in 2008. Hope and change, just listen to me and all will be good. Well, we know where that took us. You know, Obamacare is killing everybody. You're getting fined if you don't buy insurance. It's just tragic what we've run into this last 7 years. And the depression, the low wages, the higher cost to do everything in this country, it's just isn't working out. So we need real change. We need a conservative in there, and conservative House and Senate will make real change happen, and that's what we work for as the Eagle Forum bunch and the Tea Party bunch. We still work for real change, and we want to keep the change in our pocket. That's what we tell people when we do our rallies. So what do you think, Aaron?
I think you're right. I think Bernie's about done. Bernie's has shot everything he could shoot and pulled everything he could pull. I don't see him in the race much longer. I think he's going to eventually, at this point, he's going to concede to Hillary and let her run with it. The party's going to pressure him into doing that pretty soon. It's got to happen soon.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, if you listen to the pundits, you get these stories, but he's at that age where he's about out of everything, you know, out of the House and out of the this race, but he's got this legacy he's running on to try to push his socialist agenda to the end, to where he might stay in because he's got a lot of money behind him, and just keep his message out there of free handouts for everybody, so maybe that'll
carry on.
He's
never worked a day
after he's out of there.
He's never worked a day in his life. The man has never actually had a job, a real job, in his entire life. He was a bum when he started, and he's still a bum now. And the people that can't see it are, like you said, he's the ones that he's making the promises to. Oh, you're not going to have to work. You're not going to have to do anything for college. We'll provide all. We'll keep providing all. Don't worry. We'll take care of it all. But his audience are really, like you said, the young people. And you know what? The young people are not the ones who really carry the vote. If you look at the vote, it's the older folks that do go and register and vote. They're the ones who take and get the job done when it comes push to shove. And he's not going to have that vote.
Right, you know, when Obama had his hope and change going, we in Montana alone, we saw the young vote expand greatly. It went up like 25,000 votes in our county here. They were all out there just voting for Obama. You know, they had a whole long ballot of other people to vote for, but they'd walk in and say, I'm just voting for Obama. I'm not voting for anybody else because I don't know anything about anything else. We're just voting for Obama. So they were so ignorant and running down that hope and change path. They didn't really have any idea what they were voting for.
You know, I don't even know if it was hope and change. I think a lot of people wanted to see a minority president. They really did. They thought it was time. They say, this is the guy. He's going to make it happen. He made a lot of promises, and he was the first minority, and people wanted to somehow wanted to see that happen. Well, they saw it happen, and they lived with it for 8 years, and now here we are. Hope and change again? I don't think so. And now are people out there actually thinking about voting for Hillary because she would be the first female president? I hope not. I hope we vote for just the right person, not someone who, because they're a minority. Let's get the right person, Trump, in office and get this turned around.
Yeah, you always hope for that. And I think we've learned our lesson maybe from the Obama fiasco we've seen in the Democrats, what they've done to us with the different bills. You know, they were pushing cap and trade, and your power bills will necessarily increase dramatically, which they have. Obamacare is a mess. We've seen our premiums go from $400 a month in this area to $1,500-$1,600 a month for a family of three, and then your deductibles have gone up to $15,000-$20,000. They're worse than the catastrophic policies they downplayed during that whole thing. They were going to get rid of all that, and you still don't really get keep your doctor, or you don't keep your plan. So
and people can't keep the plan; they can't afford it. When the rates spike that fast, what happens? People drop it, and then they're going to end up giving up their income tax return because they can't pay the fines. It's just ridiculous.
They don't realize those subsidies are actually taxable events when it comes down to the end of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nothing
money coming
free
in
this life, people.
That's not what Bernie says. Come on now.
Well, Bernie wants to pay for it all. I'll put my vote in there. He can send me a few million dollars, you know, and I can...
Yeah. As we all know, that would collapse the government and we'd all fold up. You get over 50% of the people working with 50% of the people riding a free ride, boy, that's not going to last too long, is it? People are going to say, what am I doing this for?
Anyway, back to last night's discussion on the election. You know, Trump did really well. He picked up every state except Ohio, like we said. Kasich took his own state by 45% of the vote. It looks like moving ahead, Trump needs less than 50% of all the remaining votes. But if you look at kind of the map and where he's picked up most of his states so far and what Cruz has picked up, it looks pretty good that he shouldn't have any problem getting 1,237 or even 1,300 votes plus, which would
push
them into the convention without any real issues and make things easy to get through.
Yeah. We just got to wait state by state as it works its way through.
Yeah, I made a list here. The next states up are March 22nd is the Samoan Islands that somehow we're attached to up there in the Pacific Ocean, and then Arizona, Utah are all on March 22nd, totaling like 100 votes, 100 delegates.
That'll be a big one, yeah.
And April 5th is Wisconsin at 42, and Scott Walker is suggesting he's going to work to get Cruz those votes. We hope
I don't know about that.
Pull that one off.
Yeah.
And then April 19th is New York, Trump's home state. He's feeling pretty comfortable at that. That's 95 votes. Hell, if he got most of those right there, that's 250 votes. That puts him 250 closer to taking this thing.
East Coast is going to be Trump's. East Coast, Trump is going to walk it.
Yeah.
I don't see any issues there.
Then 26 looks like another Super Tuesday, I think it is. You got Connecticut with 28, Delaware 16, Maryland with 38, Pennsylvania 71, Rhode Island 19. So you got a lot of votes on that Tuesday. That'll probably be telling grace. You know, and then you work your way down to listening to the deal about California on the pundits the other day. That's 172 delegates.
That's a biggie right there.
It's not a winner-take-all state. It's a county or district-by-district take-all, and there's like 54 districts. And we know there's a lot of conservative districts out there in places in California, so it might be Trump could take half of that vote, which would be another 80-90 delegates. So we're feeling pretty good then. He's got the movement. He's got the anger of the people riled up for real change, get the establishment settled down in D.C., get D.C. working for the people. So I think that, coupled with what we do in the Tea Party and Eagle Forum and other conservative groups, we're pushing everybody to get out to vote to try to make this thing work for us.
Yep. What do you think about the those false ballots that they claim they saw in Florida? What do you think about that whole hullabaloo? The fake ballots?
They had some pictures today where Trump's name wasn't on there, but they said the confusion was, because like I said, my son, he kind of follows this closer than I do at times, because I follow a lot of other issues besides this election, being the leader of the Tea Party, et cetera. But he said the explanation was, independents have the ability to change over to Republicans, but it takes you contacting them 29 days before the election. And because of that confusion, the ballots weren't, in some areas, not set up quite right. But I think they got it all handled. And, of course, it worked out just fine for Trump.
Yeah, it did.
I don't think it was anything evil. It was just confusion.
Just a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a basic mistake and error.
We worry about that because, you know, like, some of the elections, you wonder how Philadelphia can have 100.0% of all their people vote Democrat in the last election.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough one, isn't it?
It smells funny when you hear things like that, because there's good conservatives running around Philadelphia. We know that.
Yeah.
So there probably is some voter fraud going on. They talk about
I like to think it's a small percentage that basically people are honest and that they try and do the right thing, especially in the polls.
Yeah, you know, and people can manage that themselves. You just go talk to your voter boards and get on your voter boards and election judges and be the judges, be the guys standing there watching over it. Make sure there isn't any fraud or funny stuff going on. We do that religiously here in Montana.
Right.
But well, one thing you mentioned, get out the vote. Is so critical because even in the last election, we saw 40% of registered voters in Montana and a lot of other states don't vote. If we could just get 10% of those people out voting conservative, we would just destroy the election.
Well, you know what?
We would never have an issue with a Democrat getting elected. So
get
out to vote, people. If you're listening to this show, go figure out how to get out to vote. Get your mail-in votes. Get it all done. That's your duty as an American citizen. Vote.
Absolutely.
Hey, Aaron, you never did tell us who you are. I didn't introduce your property, so you might take a few minutes
right
before the next commercial break and tell us who Aaron Doty is.
Yeah. Aaron Doty is a conservative, ultra-right-wing military member for 40 years this month, supporter of Mr. Trump, his policies and his beliefs. One other thing that I didn't talk about that we probably need to talk about. What do you think about the Supreme Court judge nomination? What are your feelings on that? How do you think this is going to go? I mean, Obama's nominated somebody, and yes, he has the right to do. But is he going to get any traction? Is that going to be a nomination? Going to be a good nomination?
He's
what do you think?
He's really weak on Second Amendment, which is going to scare a lot of people. And a lot of people still don't know much about him. So some of the pundits are pushing, put him in there, expose him, you know, spend the whole year talking about him and getting the facts on him so people understand what's going on. That's one possible process. But, you know, there's history shows that we have this happened in the past, that you don't pick a Supreme Court judge in election year.
Yeah.
The Biden factor they were talking about today, and I forget when that was, a number of years ago, he made a big statement about it's election year, and there's just no reason to even think of picking out a Supreme Court judge during this confusing time. So let's just wait till the elections are over, and then we'll get on to picking a Supreme Court judge. So there's really no reason to do it. The Constitution doesn't tell you have to do it when the president puts somebody up. What I kind of get after is the fact that what did Reid do in the Senate for 6 years? He stopped everything. Every good bill the Republicans put together, which they did have a lot of good bills, I think thousands of them, He just tabled them, said, I'm not bringing them up. We're not talking about them. They're dead on arrival, and maybe we're going to have payback here for what Reid did to all the good conservative bills that he tabled.
I think you might be right because of the fact that he's a lame duck president. That we don't really, they don't really have to do anything that he says at this point. And he doesn't have the support he once had. It's fallen by the wayside. So he's probably, you're right, it's a lame duck president that he'll just flounder out there and they'll let it go away.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to set up his legacy of having three Supreme Court judges. That's all he's thinking about. He's pure political all the way.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to him. I don't see it happening.
And, you know, McConnell, he was on today, as matter of fact as I've ever seen him, and he said, well, no, we're going to let the people elect the next Supreme Court judge next year after elections. Well, you know, let them pick it.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, what if Hillary's your president? Well, we're still going to wait till next year and let the people decide after this election period's over. So I think he's right. I think the Constitution supports him. I think it's probably just going to sit there until.
It
ain't going to sit there because, you know, he's already got MoveOn.org. They're going to rally here in Billings against Senator Daines. You know, make your senators vote for a Supreme Court judge. There's going to be a lot of push on the internet and rallies to call Republicans a lot of bad names. And hopefully the Republicans don't crash to that cause and push for the guys to do something different.
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening at all. Back to
let me get in my next three ads here, and then we'll get back to some more fun discussions and maybe some shout-outs if we want because we got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Trust Vets. We're going to introduce Trust Vets. Bella talks about these guys. She's met with them. She's had conversations with them and discussions, and they've been on the radio show before. But if you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for a work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with a veteran? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for your veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help. Before hiring any local service, visit trustvets.com and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets, they've earned it. Back to this one. You don't find any better guys in a family-like team than with Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are GAF and Timberline certified. Polar Builders upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella. Hopefully she's feeling better. At Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Finally, if you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also rant with about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Patilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small town service, and he will even save you money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. He's at 952-856-6074. Speaking of veterans, I want to give a shout-out to my older brother. He's a year older than me. Out of Butte, Montana in those days, he went into the Marines for 4 years and got beat up, shoved around, appreciated it. He come out a better man after that. And then came back to Butte, and then he tried college for a while, but he just couldn't get into that swing of things, so he went into the Army. Spent, I can't remember the number of years, but I know he's listening and he appreciates it, but he spent 25 years, I believe, in the Army, and then retired out of the Army and is now living in Austin, Texas. He's a good guy. He's a great patriot. He emails Bella and I all the time about issues of concern. He's a concerned Texan down there now, a misplaced Montanan, but I give him a shout out to my brother Greg down there, the ex-military man that's proud to be an American.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, can I give a shout out to all the deployed troops, Afghanistan, anywhere else around the world where they're at? You're doing a great job. You're doing the right fight, and you're doing the right thing for your country. When you get back, enjoy yourself. Try and decompress and blend back into the civilian population. Don't even think about where you've been or what you've done. You've done your duty. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and if you're posted at trustvets.com, guys, and you're looking for work, just check them out. Maybe they can help you out. I know they understand what you're going through, and they'd help you out.
Absolutely.
What about that thing that just happened this week, Aaron, with the Wounded Warriors group? Did you see that?
Are you talking about the protest, or are you talking about
the... No, the two guys that got run off of Wounded Warriors because they were spending extravagantly.
Oh, yes. The overhead was like, their overhead was two-thirds of what they were taking in. And only a third
was
going to
it was actually 40%, but it was 40% of hundreds of millions of dollars they were spending on overhead and big parties and conventions and places and jet planes.
They needed to be fired. They needed to be out of there. That was absolutely ridiculous. What a way to treat our vets. Freaking, just give them the money off the top and don't let them have what they need to continue. It's just ridiculous. Why those people are even less in charge? They need a watch keeper to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. Don't start a new government group for that. That would be a bad thing. But
I know. Isn't that horrible?
It's kind of a deal with a lot of our nonprofits. I know when they had that big problem down in Louisiana with the big hurricane and the first aid group started showing up, and American Red Cross showed up. But then shortly after that, the news came out that American Red Cross was spending the majority of their budget on overhead and not getting it to the people.
Yep.
Like the leader of that group, I think back then, was making multiple millions of dollars a year salary and bonuses.
Yeah.
So
if
you're looking into investing in help, you need to research the groups that you're talking to and their balance sheets and see how much of the money you give them gets to the source. Because it's important if you're going to support somebody, you get the money to them.
Right, it's like combined federal campaign. There's a whole bunch of different groups that tap into that to get money. You know, that's money out of the federal government, out of the all the workers, and we tap into it. We pay all these monies in, but what percentage? You've got to look real close when you make your pick as to which one you're going to donate to, because if you just put it in the general fund, more than half of that's going to go to waste. It will not go where you want it to go. You got to pick very carefully and look where they're spending the money and what their overhead is and how much is going to the people that you want to help. Very important.
That's absolutely true.
Getting back to what's going to happen, you know, after the primaries, and we get down to the actual two people that are going to be running for president, I mean, at this point, I can only see two clear choices. It's going to be Trump and Hillary. That's where we're going to end up. What is Hillary going to – she's already advertising that she's going to climb all over Trump and throw down on his policies. What's her vulnerabilities besides Benghazi? What do you see as her greatest weaknesses? The lies? The emails? There's just so much –
which one do you want to pick? She's going to get just obliterated by at least the conservative press and the Internet. The Internet isn't friendly to Hillary.
No.
I know a lot of young kids I talk to. You know, like they follow Bernie, but their comments about her is she's just too old and wore out to be president. So you get a lot of the young people saying just for that they're not going to vote for her. But her issues are huge,
are
and
huge.
Her husband's issues are still hanging out there.
Yeah, yeah. And the angry, I cannot tell you how many veterans and presently serving individuals are just outright furiously angry at her over what happened at Benghazi. I mean, they're just ready to explode. They are so angry. I mean, they feel that totally betrayed. They feel she got people killed. Let's face it, that's the bottom line. She actually got people killed through inaction and through false action. It's just a mess.
Yeah, for just not doing anything, not doing her job.
Right, exactly.
You know, I don't know. I still remember back when all that was going on, and then I think I was on a rig, and I was watching when the four caskets came back to the air base, and yeah. Hillary, and this is after they already talked about the video, and it was all the video, it was nothing else, and you're like, a video? What? How's that happen, you know? And then
yeah,
I watched
exactly.
that whole affair when they went to the caskets, and it was the saddest thing I'd ever seen, you know, how military funerals are the most amazing thing you'll ever see, and they'll bring you to tears,
right.
But those two people went in there and got on the microphone, they didn't pay much attention to the caskets, and then they started on this video thing, and all these poor family members are kind of like,
members.
Oh,
yeah.
a lot for concerned about my dead person, you know, so it was
yeah.
tragic, and it's I don't see where it got any better, and then that movie just came out.
No, it got a lot worse.
Benghazi, and you have to watch that if you want to just feel the emotion in that whole thing. And I learned
right.
something, you know, because we don't get, you know, literally we don't get real news on the spot news a lot of times in this
right.
country. It's all filtered through the federal government.
Yeah.
Because when I remember Benghazi, it was the Benghazi place where our guys were at
the embassy.
I can't think of the guy's name, but they didn't have much protection, but they had that area there, and they got attacked and
the compound
pretty much burned the place down in a hurry. But when you listen to the early news that came back to America, it was all about that place. There was no talk about the CIA center ever in that news cycle.
No,
I was wondering, what's fighting going on? What was blah, 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 you know? And I finally realized when I saw the movie that the fight progressed from that site over to the CIA complex, and they had a heck of
yep.
a war there for a day.
Yep.
Lost two more
yep.
guys there. So it's like,
yep.
wow, the light bulb came on. We're not getting news all the time, guys. You gotta almost watch Canadian or German news to really know what's going on in our country truly, or British news.
Yeah.
They kind of tell it more like it is.
Even Al Jazeera, which I really hate, actually is probably a better news source than our own news, CNN. And I mean, Fox is horrible, absolutely horrible about reporting the truth of what goes on in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of fault Turner for creating this news fiasco we got by going to 24-hour, because there's no reason we need 24-hour news.
No.
We're getting plenty of news in the morning and evening news before 24-hour. Now all they do is, it's more like a soapbox going on. They just whine
right.
and talk about non-issues.
Make it up as they go along.
They'll talk about a topic for a minute, and then they'll go to commercial and be on a whole different topic, so you don't even know what's going on. You can't parse the whole thing together. You know, like an
right.
hour radio show like this is truly amazing how much information you can get out, and if we do go to phone calls, it's even more impressive because you get to talk to people
right.
and answer their questions, like town hall kind of things. But
right.
the news you see these days is more just a commercial for something. It's not real
right.
news.
It's not focused. It's not focused on any one subject. It's a freaking shotgun going off, and you're getting little tiny bits here and there that give you an idea that something's going on, but you can't see the truth of it because you're not getting enough of true information flow.
Right, not enough information to make a decision. They're pretty much telling you what your decision should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trained, you know. They're trained SEALs. Their money guys are telling them what to say. They have their agendas and their teleprompters. You know, they're just part of the system.
Yeah.
And the
absolutely.
Press is pretty much all socialist, very left-leaning press to the most
oh, yeah.
extent. You don't get much center,
well, as you
center
read your
right news anywhere on there. You have to dig for it somewhere.
As you listen to it, you'll notice it's all slanted and pointed. It's slanted and pointed the way they want you to think, whether you believe it or not, whether you're smart enough to step back and say, you know what, that sounds like part of the truth. What's the rest of the story here? What's
yeah.
really going on?
Yeah, absolutely. What's the whole truth? Nothing but the truth. But, you know, fair and balanced, that doesn't work. There's no
yeah.
fair and balanced on Fox or any of those other stations.
No, absolutely not.
It's crazy.
Absolutely
you know,
not.
I used to do this TV show, and it would be a half-hour show, and I'd interview one legislator or one book author or something for an hour. A lady from Russia one time, and then I'd replay them and look at them to try to improve my show, and I'd time 2 minutes and a discussion in 2 minutes, and the amount of information you can actually get out truthfully in 2 minutes is just overwhelming. It's amazing what you can get out to the public if you stay on topic and and keep it going. I was impressed myself. I was like, wow, I didn't know that much news got out.
Right, right. What do you think about Putin in Russia? What do you think about? Do you think he's going to get behind Trump? It almost sounds like that's the way it's headed.
You think Putin's going to get behind Trump?
Yep, I do believe so. I think
everybody says,
happen.
You know, on the pundit side, Obama's got all these foreign leaders upset, and they're going to all help Hillary get elected. And I don't believe any of that, but
I don't either.
Putin's a businessman too.
Exactly.
He's a shrewd operator. You know, he owns part of every business in Russia, I believe. And
absolutely. That's an absolute true fact.
He's protecting his interests, you know, where our legislators and presidents don't have anything to protect other than their little coffers,
right,
you know.
Right, right. And every time...
So I think Putin's doing what he thinks is going to be best for Putin and ultimately Russia.
Absolutely true.
I'm not sure. There was a cartoon today about, here you go, Obama, fix it. This mess, you know, of a Dodd sitting there on one side with his victory fingers up and ISIS on the other side with their victory fingers up. So
right.
Now what are you going to do? Well, that's kind of where we're at. What the heck do you do?
Yeah. We bored into an area that we do not have control of and we will never have control of. And now we're sitting there, which side do we back? And Russia's saying, you know what, we're pretty clear about this, what we're going to do here. We're going to go in and do this, 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 and this. They go in, they do it, and now that you hear they're pulling back, they're ready to pull out now. They've accomplished.
Actually, probably had a budget and figured out. You know, they figured out in Afghanistan after their 10 years, it's way too expensive to stay there.
Right, right.
They didn't learn that from their being in Afghanistan, and we've spent trillions of Americans' hard-earned dollars and deficit dollars. Just whatever we've done over there, it just hasn't worked. So I think
Not only the dollars, it's the death toll. It's the death toll. We've spent a lot of American lives over there, and what have we really accomplished? What have we got that's lasting over there?
The whole thing.
Exactly. We've got nothing that's going to be lasting right now. There's nobody over there that's going to walk up, shake hands, say, great job, America. We appreciate your help. You did us a big favor stepping in here and helping us. They hate us. They all
hate us.
You're
a military guy. And we had, I think it was 2010, probably a memorial to the lost souls in Billings, Montana, over there. And as we read their names and how they deceased over there, the tragedy came real vivid to us that these IEDs killed a lot of our boys and girls and wounded
them. And they're still
them
killing our boys
immensely.
Yep.
And it's like, that's not a war. That's just.
No, it's IEDs.
Send your boys and girls into that stuff.
Yes, and suicide bombers, the little kids and the women all strapped up in bombs, walking into where the troops are and just plain blowing themselves. It's horribly tragic. And then you have the service members. I have a son that did time over there in the desert, and he was a witness to one of those tragic events where a IUD took out a Humvee in front of him, and he had to pick up the mess, and his comrade, he had to pull him out of the Humvee, and you know what? He's scarred for life over that. He's PTSD, and there's nothing that's ever going to change that. I mean, after time, you know, your memory fades a little bit, and it's less painful. But that's the American tragedy, this whole thing. We have all these people we sent over there that are damaged now from this war. We need to be pickier. We need to look at this a lot harder. We need to have someone in, you know, get somebody into office who's afraid to spend American lives like that. I mean,
and if he does, send a general with him that'll actually fight the fight and get it done and get him back home in a
hurry.
Allow. That's what we need to do.
And allow that general to do his job and not hold him back and say, wait a minute, we don't want to go that far. It's almost like with Patton. It really, honestly, the generals that are over there, if our president decides he doesn't like what they're doing or is not doesn't make a politically correct statement, they jerk him out, even though he was doing a good job. And you can't rotate your fighting force like that and expect to have any continuity and be effective. You just can't do that.
And we started all that backroom general stuff in Vietnam, or actually Korea before that. We just wouldn't let our boys fight the fight and get it done. We just played these political games and stuff of how you can shoot, when you can't shoot, you know.
Yep.
It's like, God help us all. We just, I guess we shouldn't just go to war anymore and let everybody else duke it out themselves, and we'll just watch for a while, because why send our boys and girls into that mess?
Yeah, it's like a meat grinder. It really is. You throw more and more troops at it. You throw more and more money at it. And it's an endless well that you will never fill. It is. It's just an endless well you can't fill. We got to be more discerning and more picky about what we do decide to get into. And honestly, I believe Trump is the guy that's going to do that.
Come home. Let's get the VA fixed.
Yep.
You know, I had issues with my dad 20 years ago with the VA, and it doesn't seem to get much better, but government's got to get responsible and accountable for all that veteran stuff and everything else they do to
Absolutely
us.
True. Absolutely true.
We only got like a few minutes left, maybe five or so, and I want to talk a little bit at the end here, because another big issue is the wall down in Mexico and the illegal immigrants and the refugees they're trying to bring in here. But, you know, it was just announced the other day that Obama's gave the King of Jordan $500 million so he could build a wall to keep the Syrians out. but we don't want to build a wall here, but we want to import all these Syrians here, so there's a little confusion here, isn't there?
Well, there's more than just confusion here. What about the fact that the Syrians we're bringing here, 75% of them are men? Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like they're immigrants. That sounds like they're maybe a fighting force. It's kind of scary. What are we bringing in? What kind of people are we bringing into our country? The whole theory is that you assimilate to the country that you're moving to. I don't see it happening. I don't see any of these Syrians assimilating to the United States way of life. I see it actually being tried to push in the other direction with the Sharia law.
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible tragedy. That.
You know, if you look way back in history, even back to Teddy Roosevelt, and he said, if you're going to come to America, you got to be American, you got to speak English, and you got to assimilate and work hard for this country, and we can't have these hyphenated things going on. You know, and there's been other presidents since then that said the same thing, and you know, basically the Europeans settled down and said, okay, we don't want to be American, German, American, Jewish, American, Italian, you know, so we kind of settled all that down till this recent wave of foreigners from southern countries come up and the other people, you know. It is America.
Yeah.
It's a melting pot for everybody. But, you know, the law says, if you read the laws for immigration and refugee, you do have to come in.
You have to assimilate.
You got to speak English. You have to get a job in short order and be productive. So why do we have 21 foreign languages on our welfare forms? Well, we haven't followed the rules, have we?
No, we haven't. It's like speaking Spanish. That's the first thing that pops up in any type of a helpline you call on the telephone. Spanish is, wait a minute. Shouldn't English be first? Hey, if you want this in English, shouldn't that be the first thing that pops up? We've become second class in our own country. I don't fathom why the immigration thing has gone this far, why we've allowed it to go this far. Yes, we want to be a melting pot. Yes, everyone in the world is welcome here. But you've got to assimilate to our country. We are not adapting to you. You need to learn to speak English. You need to learn our ways. You need to learn what the flag means, what it's all about, what the Constitution says. You need to assimilate to us. We're not changing to be you. We're not moving to Syria. Syria is not a country I want to go to and live.
No, we don't want to assimilate there.
No, it's insane.
And the real path to citizenship is a good path. It's a little broken because of the laws in the 68 Immigration Act, because it doesn't allow certain directions for flow. But you get in that system, and it takes you up to sometimes 5 years and some pretty significant funds to become a citizen, and you have to do all this education on our Constitution, Declaration.
Absolutely, as it should.
Speak English, and eventually hold your right hand up. And so all the stuff we're going through now with refugees is, hey, just come on in, you know, here's a house, here's your welfare check, don't worry about it.
Yep.
You don't need to assimilate, we'll just take care of you, you know, kind of hogwash and illegals, trying to make all them legal now without going through the throes of citizenship. I mean, it's not fair to the people that worked so hard to get here.
Well, remember, there used to be a thing called a citizenship test you just had to study for and take. It's gone.
Okay. Well, Aaron, I think we're out of time. We got 90 seconds, so why don't you give a closing statement, and I'll do the same, and we'll hope to get Bella back next week.
Yep. All I want to say is everybody stay on the true path. Let's get Trump into office. Let's get some change going, this positive change, instead of this negative we're going to change for no reason whatsoever. And, Bella, we miss you. We need you back on the show. We need to laugh. Eric and I are we're probably funny to laugh at, but we're not that funny to follow along with. We need you in the mix. Eric, back to you.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Doty, we appreciate your service and your time on this show. We look forward to Josh coming back, the young student in Houston who was on our show last week. He's Students for Trump. He's doing a great job down there. So we appreciate their help. We need the youngins to come on board with us. And the biggest thing I always tell people at the end of the show is get out to vote. Get your friends out to vote. Get your neighbors out to vote. Get everybody out to vote, whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's your duty. We hope you're voting conservative because we believe that's the cause that's going to set America back on the path to greatness. And we appreciate everybody that's listened in. One of these days, maybe we'll get a phone line open and you can chat with us a little bit, but we're just second week into this show, so we appreciate it. Appreciate Doug on the other end that's keeping us on track with this show, and Bella, our wishes for you getting healthy again and getting the fight back in this game, and we'll talk at you all next week. Thank you.